Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're thrilled to welcome the legendary singer Martha Wash to the show to talk about her brand new album, Something Good. Martha explains why she chose to go in a different musical direction on her new CD. The Kelly Alexander Show also gets to world premiere her new single, It's My Time. We then feature part two of our interview with ex-Scientologist and author Nancy Menny as she explains their espionage unit and what Katie Holmes had to do to escape Tom's world. Sharon Hyland is here to talk new music, and we wrap things up with a remix from Madonna.
Capture your need for sound.
It's a great honor to welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show an amazing artist who's had chart-topping success all around the world, singing lead vocals for the likes of CNC Music Factory, Black Box, as well as her own music. She's known as the Queen of Clubland and is now dropping a new project that sees her switching from dance-heavy beats to a more adult contemporary sound and feel. Martha Wash, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Well, thank you so much. How have you been?
Fantastic. And we are so excited to have you on the show. I want to talk to you about your new project, Something Good, the name of this new album that you've released, and your first collection of all new music, basically in 20 years. Why have you decided to do this project now? What actually drove you to take on this experience?
I just felt it was time for me to just make some different decisions music-wise. We all get a little bit older, and I think everybody knows me for the dance music, but I've always been a person who likes to sing different types of music. And I thought this would be a good time for me to kind of switch a little bit more than, adult contemporary.
Now, you have such a hardcore dance following. Why did you decide to, switch things up so much on Something Good? Because like we just talked about, adult contemporary is very different from your dance beats.
Right. It was just something that I wanted to do. I never intended to be just a dance music artist. That was what I was associated with for so many years, and that's what people recognized me as being. But again, I've always wanted to do and like different types of music.
Was it a challenge for you in the studio, not obviously talent-wise, but just the fact that, you have done so much dance-oriented work, and now you're trying this new, not new genre, but it is different for you. Was it like a bit of a roller coaster ride in the studio?
In a way, yes. I think I had to focus on, singing the way I used to many years ago. It almost kind of reminded me of being in school and the things that I learned in music classes and in choir classes.
Because it obviously is a very different way of wrapping your vocals around the music.
Right, and placement and breathing techniques and things like that.
So
things
it was
that you're taught in music classes.
That's awesome. So it must have been fun for you, to shake things up a little bit.
Definitely.
Now, why did you actually name the album Something Good? And what do you want your fans, to take away from it? Are there, underlying messages in each of the songs?
Well, there's always underlying messages. But as far as the title of the song, when my manager and I were kind of going back and forth about what title to use for the song, he was saying, well, all of the songs are good. So why don't we just go with Something Good? I'm hoping that everybody will like all of the songs. As far as the messages are concerned, I hope they're, I'm looking for them to be inspirational to people, uplifting to people, something that can kind of get people from one day to the next. You know, when you're having difficulties and circumstances that are going on in your life, sometimes you need music is universal. And so listening to it sometimes helps you get into a better mood as to, how you're feeling, kind of change your mind about a lot of things and help you kind of get through situations in your life,
Were there any other artists or projects done before that gave you inspiration for this project? Like, have you heard something from someone else where you're like, hey, that really sort of moved me and now I want to move other people?
No, not really. It was just the songs that were presented to me. I really liked them. And the messages that they had to say.
Can you actually tell us about the writers and producers that you worked with on this project? Are they, up and coming in the industry, or are they already very established?
Zach Adam, who wrote I've Got You, which was the first single from the CD. He produced all the tracks for the CD. I've just been continually working with him, and I co-wrote one of the songs with him, Destiny. I'm trying to get into a little bit more of writing myself. But the other producers, Jim Carrollton, Helena Johansson, some are up and coming, some have been around for quite a while.
Joining us on The Kelly Alexander Show is artist and entertainer Martha Wash. Make sure to check her out, marthawash.com. Martha, did you actually enjoy the writing process that you talked about, you know, co-writing Destiny? Do you, you know, draw upon your life experiences, or were you just sort of writing about the human condition?
Well, at that time, Zach had the music, and it was a song that he had written many, many, many years ago when he was much younger. I think as a teenager, he was saying. And he wanted to keep the music, but just write new lyrics to the song. So that's how we wound up doing the song together. This is all kind of new for me. So hopefully, I think at this time, it would be more like a collaboration with someone else to come up with lyrics and things like that. But as time goes by, I hope to do more writing.
More writing. And when you plan to do more writing, do you think you'll be drawing from many different experiences in your life?
Possibly, yes. Yes.
And what is actually the plan for this new project, Something Good? Are you going to tour with it? I know you're appearing on David Letterman on October 1st, so obviously you have some appearances already scheduled.
Yes, yes. I'm looking to go out on tour with this CD and promote it as much as I can.
And so does that mean, like, you'll be, you know, touring Europe and Canada and as well as the States?
Yes.
Fantastic. And do you, you know, because this is like a new project for you, and the fact that it's brand new music and an album worth, where we haven't heard a whole new album from you in almost 20 years, do you think it's important for you to be involved in the social media aspect of things? Because I'm sure you obviously already know that so many young artists right now that are out there have really seemed to increase their following because of being on Twitter and because of being on Facebook.
Yes, I do. That is the norm now with the social media. It helps you quite a bit in promoting your product, your brand, everything. So that is the way to go. I am on Twitter. I have a Facebook page. So yes, I've been tweeting about the upcoming CD and keeping folks involved in what I'm doing.
And do you enjoy being on Twitter, Martha? Like, do you enjoy getting your messages from your fans sort of directly and responding to them?
I do. Sometimes it's very overwhelming, especially when there is like just back to back to back to back, and you can't always answer all of them, but I do try to reply to everybody.
Do you find it interesting, you know, because you've been around for a while, how ardent your fans are and, you know, probably how much they enjoy getting a response from Martha Wash?
Yeah, it's really kind of fun when they respond and say, oh my God, Martha Wash responded to me. You know, it's fun for me, and I think it's fun for them, but I enjoy it. I really do enjoy it. It's because it makes you feel closer to your fans, and that's a good thing.
And have you noticed with the type of fans that you have, because, again, being in that dance community that you're so known for, you know, and there's other artists out there that are sort of in the same boat as you, like Crystal Waters, like CeCe Peniston, like Robin S., you know, if anyone follows that sort of community, the fans are so loyal and continue to be that way, you know, for years at a time. And now that you're branching out sort of into this adult contemporary land, if you will, what are your expectations for maybe picking up new and loyal fans?
I'm looking for new fans, but I also want to make sure that the fans that have followed me for years will continue to do so into a different genre of music, you know, and still like the music and the artist as well.
Are you a little nervous about your ardent fans, like how they're going to respond to Something Good, the project?
No. I feel if you're a really true fan, you will follow the artist, because you have to understand that the artist has to grow as an artist, and that sometimes means making different decisions in the type of music that you want to do and things like that. They are an artist, and they have to grow, and that's what I would say the fans have to realize.
What have you felt by doing this project? Like, have you felt that it's given you a bit of a breath of fresh air, if you will, because you're sort of stretching your wings and getting out of a genre that you've been in for so long?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Wings, yes, to get better, to grow and to get better.
And what would your advice be to, you know, younger artists who, you know, I guess are in a certain genre and, you know, they might want to stay there or stay stuck there because that's what they know and they feel that their fans might not follow them?
Stretch out, I would say. Be able to take risks, you know, and just go for it. If your passion is something else, a different type of music, kind of weave it into the music that people know you from, and then start kind of branching out into another direction.
And will you make a return to Club Anthems after you're sort of finished promoting, you know, this album, or do you think you've made a change for good to do other genres, you know, more often than not?
At this point, I would rather just focus on this and see where, on this CD and see where it goes. I don't discount or say that I wouldn't do dance music again, but at this time, I would just rather do more adult contemporary music.
Would you ever consider doing like a duets album, Martha? Because, you know, you have such an amazing voice and it just feels like it could partner up with so many great artists that are out there.
Oh, of course. I don't know who they would be at this time, but yes.
Do you have like a hit list or a wish list of artists that you would love to collaborate with?
Oh, I have one in particular. That would be Aretha Franklin.
That's amazing. Have you ever met her, Martha?
No, I've been close a couple of times, but I've never met her.
And it's funny that you bring up Aretha, because obviously she was in the news quite a bit earlier in the year, you know, when her, I guess it was her goddaughter, you know, Whitney Houston passed away. How much of a hole do you think, you know, Whitney's passing has left on the industry? Because we all know that she had been struggling for a few years, but a lot of people thought that her comeback was sort of imminent.
It was a really sad, sad situation. I think it just threw everybody for a loop. I believe that she was on her way back. With the music and the movie Sparkle and everything, I felt that she was on her way back, but it just seemed like she just ran out of time, and it just really just hit the industry hard, you know, with her passing. I was really, really, really shocked when I heard about it.
Being in the industry, obviously yourself, Martha, you know, what was the overall, I guess, feeling and emotion from you and your fellow colleagues that are out, you know, grinding it out still, doing music, and then seeing an icon with such an amazing voice basically crumble to her demons in a way?
What can I say? First of all, she was a human being, and no one is perfect. We all strive for perfection, but the demons could be many, many things. And all you can do is just pray and hope that you can stay strong as an individual. You know, sometimes it gets the best of you and you don't recover. You know, that's the sad part.
Can you speak a little bit about sort of being in the industry? Because I think a lot of people, you know, they just see the glam and the glitz and the money and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, obviously it's been a grind for you and for all of your colleagues that are out there, especially, I would assume, in, you know, whether it's the dance community or the R&B community. Is it really tempting to sort of go down a bad path? Like, do you really need to surround yourself with people that are not just yes men and yes women?
I would say correct. Yes. First of all, I would say you yourself have to have a strong foundation. Your friends, your family, because this business is very, very tough. And if you don't have a strong foundation, you can be tempted in a lot of different ways. And you have to realize that the temptation is out there and it can come to you at any time. And I would say to people, just stay strong in what your beliefs are and how you feel about yourself and how you want your life to be lived, you know, and not succumb to the yes people. You know, I have this over here for you, or I have that over there for you, you know, and not succumb to all of those kind of temptations and things, and just really stay strong.
Do you like looking back over your career, Martha, and seeing all that you have accomplished, or do you not really take a moment to sort of be like, wow, I've done this and it's been amazing? Is it hard to sort of look back, or do you just want to keep growing and not get stuck in the looking back and maybe patting yourself on the back?
Sometimes I think I haven't done very much, and then it dawns on me that, wow, I have done quite a few things, you know, and I think that's sometimes the surprising part for me. I have lasted this long in this business where others have kind of fallen away or you don't hear too much about them. So, I mean, I'm happy where I am right now. I know that I'm going to get better. And I'm just, you know, I'm in a way kind of hanging on like everybody else. You know, everybody goes through trials and tribulations and ups and downs. It's part of life, whatever your profession is. You know, everything is not going to be at 100%. It's about how you deal with the less than 100% that keeps you going, you know, that kind of thing.
What would your advice be to younger artists in the way that I remember hearing a comment made by Janet Jackson where she said that when she was sort of in the midst of being like sort of the flavor du jour when, you know, all the albums were coming out and everyone wanted a piece of her and she was so busy. And she said, you know, it's difficult to take a moment to appreciate what you've got. And I would think that that's sort of, you know, something that happens with the likes of maybe a Lady Gaga or a Justin Bieber, where they have so much going on that it's hard to take a moment and appreciate what you've got and maybe even taking yourself too seriously. Is that something that you think younger artists should be aware of, to just sort of take a moment and not look too far ahead and just sort of do it step by step?
I would say yes. Take your time, definitely. Because when you're really, really out there and really, really busy, you don't have the time to kind of take a breath and just kind of stop. So I would suggest that everybody, you know, who's going to be in this business, enjoy what you're doing, but also stop and take time and just rest if you can, you know, and recharge your batteries, you know, your energy and stuff, and just kind of slow down every now and then. Because if you keep going at a full speed, you're going to burn out. And the burnout may come when you really, really don't want it to come.
Now, with regards to your project, Something Good, the album, I know this might be a difficult question, but I want to ask it anyway and put you on the spot a little bit. All these songs are obviously very important to you. Is there one that sticks out the most, or are they all your babies?
I would have to say, no, I like them all. I really do. But I think at this moment it would be It's My Time.
Which is the second single.
Yes.
Which we are thrilled to be able to announce that gets to have the world premiere here on the Kelly Alexander Show. So we're very thrilled that you've let that happen for us. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Martha, thank you so much for joining us. We're actually going to play that song right now. And again, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's always an awesome experience to get to chat with you.
So my pleasure.
So that is Martha Wash. Make sure to check out her new album, Something Good. For more information, check out her website, marthawash.com. And also, don't forget, she's going to be a guest on David Letterman on October 1st. Make sure to check it out.
Hey, everybody, this is Martha Wash, and you're listening to the KellyAlexanderShow.com.
I can see it clear. I'm getting close. I'm almost there. It's indescribable. It's my time to shine. It's my time. indescribable. It's my time to shine. It's my
chat with ex-Scientologist and author of My Billionaire Contract, Nancy Menny. As we pick things up, Nancy explains the espionage unit that is part of the Scientology organization. And now, you mentioned just a few moments ago the word espionage. So is this true then, obviously? Because we've heard that, even if we just use the recent example where, a lot of the tabloids were speculating that when, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes were in the process of breaking up, that she was being followed and watched. So
is
this
true? Oh, my God, of course she was.
Okay.
His entire house is made up of Scientologists. There was a time when he was with Nicole that he and Nicole were not active in Scientology. I mean, it went on for years, like 8-9 years. In their household, his personal assistant and his assistant's wife worked for him. I doubt Tom knew it. But every day, the assistant would send a report straight to David Miscavige, the leader of Scientology, with everything that Tom did, who he met with, what was talked about throughout that day. So he had a spy he was paying to spy on him.
Wow, that's incredible. And so, in your opinion, obviously, I know I'm asking you to speculate here a little bit, but from everything that we've heard around the fringes of all of this, do you believe that Katie left because of the religion, like to a large degree?
I do know for a fact that she had reason to be afraid for Suri. And the reason why I say that is because Suri was being directed towards Scientology education. I had my kids initially, like, I tried once a Scientology kindergarten, and it was like, forget it. We decided not to put our children in Scientology schools, even though we were Scientologists at the time, because their test scores were low. They didn't have discipline. I mean, it was just not good. So we just said, my husband and I just said, okay, that's, no. We're going to do public school and extra added things, and I became very active in the PTA and all that. When my older son reached high school, I'm on this list to look for all the private schools in my area, and I called the most famous, called Belphi, and I asked the first question I had was, what are your average SAT scores? I don't know if you have the same in Canada, but these are the scores that high school students, it's a standardized test that everyone in the country takes.
Yeah, we don't have them here, but we know of them for sure.
All right, so she didn't even know what they were.
Wow.
SAT scores, what are those? And I said, okay, well, let me ask it another way. What colleges have your graduates been accepted to or gone to? Maybe she didn't know SATs. I don't know, but what colleges did they go to? And she then was silent, and then she said, well, most of our kids just joined the C organization, and we are very proud of that. Meaning, the end result of a Scientology school is to sign a billionaire contract with the C org.
Can you explain that? Because that's something I haven't asked you about yet.
Yes, the billionaire contract is actually a contract for billionaires.
Wow, that's a long time.
Very long time. and people sign it. Now they call them volunteers, even though they're under the organization's control 24/7. They call them volunteers so they do not have to pay anything. They have accidents, and they are not under the a lot of the OSHA rules, the safety rules. They don't have to pay minimum wage. They don't pay the staff's taxes.
you know, because they call them just volunteers. So if they do something, oh, we had nothing to do with it. If they die, well, you know, not our problem. They have no health insurance, no retirement insurance. They are slaves.
Wow. Now, something I would else I would ask just about sort of all of that in regards to people's careers and stuff. Do they encourage you to go out and, you know, be a lawyer, be a doctor, or is it other professions where it's easier for them to manipulate you?
No. If you are raised as a child, the focus in your Scientology bubble, okay, because your parents are only going to have Scientology friends, so therefore you'll play with their kids, which means you're only around Scientology peers.
Right.
You don't know other things. You do not get to know other things. And you are then raised within this bubble, and the highest level within this bubble is to join for a billion years. There's a website called xscientologykids.com. You only have to read one or two of these stories, and you will then know the horrors that these children growing up in Scientology and then joining the Sea organization, the earliest I've heard of signing a bill in your contract was an 8-year-old boy.
Wow.
Lots of these kids join at 12 or 13. They are not living with their parents anymore. They're told they're going to get high school educations, and they don't. They don't. So if they leave when they're 23, what do you do with a 7th, 6th, 8th grade education in the world today?
Nancy, are you, you know, nervous or anxious about the fact that you have, I guess, spoken out? Like, because, again, we briefly touched upon the fact that, obviously, this organization keeps tabs on people and all that sort of stuff, and to whatever levels that goes to. Have you been threatened by speaking out or just speaking your truth?
Yeah. I've been followed around. My phone has been tapped. Why don't I have fear? It's because I have faith. This organization is evil from the bottom up, from the roots, the roots, the roots. In fact, Hugh Urban he is a sociologist, a scholar in the new religion area, and he wrote a paper called The Occult Roots of Scientology, and it actually has connections back to Aleister Crowley, who considered himself 666, the beast, and Hubbard considered himself the one that took over that role.
And something I wanted to ask you as well, because, again, I think I'm coming from the perspective where I don't have, obviously, a lot of knowledge. You've obviously schooled me and my listeners right now on some of the ins and outs of the organization. Something, though, that struck me several months ago when I was sort of planning to speak with you and stuff is I watched an interview, again, back to Tom Cruise, that he had done, I guess, and somehow it ended up online. I was kind of surprised that it made it out, because when I watched this interview with Tom Cruise, this was the first time that I looked into his eyes, like on the screen, and it looked like he was possessed, for lack of a better word. And one of his statements that he made that was very confusing to me, and I would like your opinion on it, is he was trying to, I guess, explain in this interview a little bit about Scientology and I guess what it meant, you know, to them as a whole. And his statement was something like, and again, he was looking off into the distance as he was, you know, facing the camera, and it was very sort of creepy. And he just said, you know, when you're a Scientologist, for example, if you come upon an accident scene, he's like, you just know inside you that you're the only one that can help. And I just didn't even understand what he was even talking about. And then he just sort of trailed off and went on to other things. But what does that even mean?
Okay, when you get to I completely understand his point of view. As you go up the various different ladders, steps in Scientology, you are more and more funneled into this place where no one in the world, no one ever in the history of the world or in the world today knows more than L. Ron Hubbard. So therefore, if you become highly trained in his various techniques, then you are superior. You are superior. And as such, yes, he's been trained in what they call little assists on people who have headaches or are recovering from an accident. But he's not a trained paramedic.
Yeah, well, that was my thought. That was my thought.
But he is made to feel by the group that he can do more than a paramedic.
It's mind-boggling to me. And it was just mind-boggling to see his... because you know Tom obviously has a very intense look when you see him sometimes in certain interviews and stuff, and this was one of those times where it was this intense, off in the distance look, like, I am above all of you right now.
There you go. There you go. Scientology, as you go up the levels, becomes more and more and more of an exclusive group. They are not an inclusive group. It's been said by some of their public relations people that they only want the people who have money. That's what they're interested in. Because if you don't have money, you're like, ooh, what are you doing with your life? Doesn't matter if you're a fireman or a policeman or a teacher. That's, like, disgusting because you don't get paid. Seriously. And it's a very snobby group. You get more points for donating more money than you do for going off to Haiti and bringing them food. That's the pecking order. And so you do end up with these people, like Tom. He's surrounded by Scientologists. So that's why Katie was, she was being watched. She was being monitored. She had a real, true need to get disposable phones. She had a need to keep everything completely quiet until the day she was ready.
Are you impressed with her?
Very. Very. That woman has guts, because not only was she under the unbelievable pressure of Scientology itself as a group, which has broken many people, she was also under Tom Cruise, who, whether he's a Scientologist or not, I think that guy's always going to be controlling, and he has a lot of money to push it through. So she was able to get out of there. I credit it to her Catholic faith, which she was going to Mass every day, every week, up until the time she met Tom. Her parents are dedicated and very faithful Christians. And her dad just happens to be a divorce attorney. And it's recently come out that he was in touch with certain people about how to get Katie out of this, and then she got pregnant and he dropped it. So, you know, when you look at her plan, you see her father's little finger in there. You know, why was New York chosen as a place that she established residency in? Well, their laws are much better than California's. Who would have known that except her father?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So she had family. She had a faith that I know carried her. That was one of the first things that she did after she left him, was go join a local church. And I do believe her daughter is going to a very exclusive Catholic school, from what I've read.
And do you think that the way that she was able to extricate herself, because I'm almost surprised that she was even able to stay in contact with her parents, you know, it sounds like Tom would have tried to maybe take that away from her as well.
Oh, yeah. And this, again, a lot of people were so angry that Tom got to continue to be with Suri. Seriously. Any other person in Scientology, if the wife makes a public statement, which she definitely made a public statement, my child is not going to go to Scientology schools, right? Mm-hmm. I want sole custody. They are considered a suppressive person. And no Scientologist in good standing can speak with them or with anyone close to them, i.e. Suri. There's a huge network of parents that left Scientology that can no longer speak to their children.
Wow.
And Karen de la Carrière left publicly 2 years ago.
Okay.
Her son, that was it. He's gone. He doesn't, you know, couldn't talk to her at all. He ended up dying. He, for 2 years, he couldn't talk to his mother, and she found out about his death through Facebook. And then she wanted to see his body. This is a mother. She wants to see her son's body one last time.
Mm-hmm.
Scientologists would not allow it. Initially, they were not going to give him any kind of a memorial service. And she went to the press. I mean, this is beyond horrible. And then they relented. The Scientologists had a memorial service, but she was not allowed to be present.
Wow.
So she had her own, and they used flower petals instead of ashes because she wasn't allowed to have his ashes.
Do you think, you know, down the line, let's say when Tom Cruise eventually, you know, passes away, you know, hopefully from natural causes, but do you think that Suri will be monitored for the rest of her life, regardless of if she's in the Scientology realm or not?
I think that the prenup that Katie's dad got for Katie and the trust fund that she's going to get is going to some degree keep her sheltered. But you have a lot of people that have left. And Rupert Murdoch's little quote is very prophetic. There's a lot more dirt under this rug, a lot more, and it's starting to come out, which means Scientology has too many fires to keep track of them all. Hubbard's granddaughter left. Hubbard's, what's the other one? Oh, Lisa Presley.
Right.
Lisa Presley left. You know, all you have to do is read the lyrics of her latest songs. And she talks about you call me suppressive. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. So you have this huge tipping point that's going to be arrived at in which all the dirt comes out.
I guess one more question about Tom Cruise, for example, again, because he is the one that everyone seems to know about the most. His involvement, do you think that he took to it so much because he was treated with kid gloves initially?
Yes. You know, okay. Is it a coincidence that when he was doing his early courses, which, as you know, he had a study problem, he was given his own private teacher? Of course, I'm sure they charged him a fortune for it. He was doing research to film the 4th of July, the Vietnam story.
Mm-hmm.
He's given a teacher that is a Vietnam veteran. And not only just any veteran, I mean, this guy was in and survived the most horrific battles of Vietnam. Now, was that a coincidence or was that a little manipulation, a little sugar on the medicine?
Right.
I also am aware that that teacher, there were two other higher executives that were not in the room with Tom. They were down the hall. But they were in constant communication with the teacher, back and forth. What did he say? What did you say? Okay, now I want you to do this. I want you to do, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Those manipulation 101. And just to go back to my fears of Scientology, the pain, the anguish, the suicides, the deaths, the bankruptcies that they have caused to other people give me the strength to stand up and speak. When I stand up and speak, I know I am speaking for the thousands who aren't.
And what is your advice to anyone who is interested or who has been approached by Scientology?
Get on the internet. You can listen to both sides. You can watch all kinds of videos. You can go to the ex-Scientology kids board and read how they treat their children.
Okay.
So get informed. Get informed. Listen. Go to both sides. Doesn't matter. Just get your information. Do not walk into this group without knowledge of what you're walking into.
Two final questions for you. First of all, do you think Scientology can continue to grow, or do you think that because of these fires that you mentioned, this could eventually implode?
Yeah, it could eventually implode. Right now, their quote-unquote expansion, like I said, their celebrity, the first one that I really recognize the name of in the past 10 years, is Louis Farrakhan. I don't think that's a big get, as they say in Hollywood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then you have, they are doing this huge campaign to make what they call ideal orgs. And they're buying up these huge properties using slave labor and volunteer labor and collecting donations to build these huge mausoleums because they are empty. The celebrities, at least I know of two separate ones that attended these openings, these grand openings of these high-end, huge, expensive buildings,
mm-hmm.
are specifically told not to go there for their services. They're told we'll handle you separately.
Because there's no one there.
Because there's no one there. And those are the reports. I mean, that's one great thing about the Anonymous Network. It's international. They drive by these new organizations and count cars.
Okay.
And count people. They're just not there. So they're living off of the couple of billionaires and millionaires that they have as members.
Now, where can people get a copy of your book, Nancy? Because obviously this is just fascinating, fascinating stuff.
My book can be gotten on Amazon. It can be gotten on my website. It is available as an ebook on all ebook readers. So whatever one you have, you are able to purchase it. I've had a very interesting journey, and it's a very interesting read because I've been into so many different facets of this organization.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, Kelly, and thank you to your listeners. I appreciate having the time to speak for all these people who aren't.
That's ex-Scientologist Nancy Menny. Again, check out her website, mybillionyearcontract.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Taking a look at what is going on in the world of music is our music editor, Sharon Hyland.
Well, Kel, Mumford & Sons follow up their major debut album with Babel. This is album number 2 for this folk rock foursome, and be sure to keep the hyphen in there as their evident folk music roots and storytelling approach combined with the energy of this crowd-pleasing foursome of young guys definitely rocks. So it's been over 2.5 years since the success of the first one, and while they are not much for communicating through social media, they do believe in and love touring and connecting with their fans that way. Oh, well, and in place of Facebook or Twitter, they do have an online book club to share their views that way. Find it at mumfordandsons.com. So no doubt, Push and Shove, album number 6 for them, kind of surprisingly ends a remarkable 11-year gap since their last album. So lots of time to broaden the 4 individuals' horizons artistically and personally with solo projects, clothing lines, marriages, babies, and all the other stuff that life throws at you. And the party is back for No Doubt fans who've been told to get in line and settle down. The next single from Push and Shove, which is a great indicator that they have been missed. So Green Day's Uno, which won't leave us surprised when the 2 follow-ups arrive, titled Dos and Trey. Obviously a very prolific time for the guys that were wise to make sure that someone had hit the record button so they could share it with the rest of us. The completion and release of this first one comes at the heels of an onstage meltdown by frontman Billy Joe Armstrong in Vegas, throwing that whole what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas rule out the window, because we all know now. So some time in rehab for him and a great new album to distract us until he gets better. October 2nd, we'll see a whole lot of everything released, from Cher Lloyd's debut of what boils down to the North American release of her UK debut album from last year with a couple of song changes. Who doesn't love when they do that? And finally, Cody Simpson's debut. I hope you can hear me over the screams of young girls everywhere. Also, Van Morrison really hits his stride with this new album. Just kidding. It's his 34th studio album. He knows what he's doing and pretty much has forever, evidenced by the album titled Born to Sing, No Plan B. And after a summer of hearing the official song of the 2012 Olympic Games, Survival by Muse is a part of the band's 6th album, which sounds like they're on track, especially when you recall the doomy tone of that summer song and hear it through the groove of the next single called Madness. Will.i.am and Taylor Swift will both release their 4th albums, but that's basically the only thing they have in common. They will not sound anything alike. No surprise there. We'll get into that and more next time. See you then.
nothing's gonna knock this girl down. I'm a rough and tough, I'm a rough and tough. And nothing's gonna knock this girl down. I'm a rough and tough, I'm a rough and tough. And nothing's gonna knock this girl down. I'm a rough and tough, I'm a rough and tough. But you can.
That's Madonna with Turn Up the Radio, the Martin Solvig remix, right here on The Kelly Alexander Show. We also featured music from No Doubt, Settle Down, and the world premiere of Martha Wash's new single, It's My Time. A big thank you, as always, to my guests, Martha Wash, Nancy Menny, and our music editor, Sharon Hyland. I want to leave you with your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time from Epictetus. We have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. I also have some exciting news to share. If you have missed any of our celebrity interviews, you can now check them out online on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Everyone from Nick Carter and Howie D of the Backstreet Boys to actress Eva LaRue of CSI Miami, we've got them all, and we'd love for you to check it out again on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Now, next week on the show, our relationship coach Frank Kermit joins us to talk about the benefits of speed dating. Don't forget as well to keep checking for blog posts on our website, kellyalexandershow.com, and follow us on Twitter, KAlexandershow. Have a great week. You and I will chat soon.